It's Ben Fulford.
Yes. How do you pronounce it? Is it Hollerback?
Hollerbach.
Hollerbach, okay.
Like Bach the composer. But you can call me Eric. Eric works.
Okay. So, let's get started.
This is Highway Diary, episode 257, with my guest, Benjamin Fulford. He was the Asia-Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine. Now he runs BenjaminFulford.net, and he's also on Patreon. He's under unprecedented attacks. Your blog, your BenjaminFulford.net is under a lot of attacks, right?
Yeah, it has been for a long time, but recently it's been extremely sophisticated and dangerous. They're going after my whistleblowers, my information sources. So this is quite important that we counterattack.
I read an old article with you and David Wilcock back in 2011. You said a colleague of mine was poisoned by ricin, and you mentioned it again on your recent newsletter. Can you speak to that incident?
Well, the one, okay, there's a source, you know, I don't want to, okay, he's a source in Asia, he's a long-term CIA asset, and he had a stroke, even though he had no existing medical condition that would indicate that, and that's usually a sign of ricin poisoning. And he was providing a lot of information. It appears that they're especially concerned about any reporting on 5G or COVID seems to be what they're really nervous about.
Well, I've been doing a lot of research on Bill Gates recently. He flew on Jeffrey Epstein's plane many times, and one documented from Teterboro, which is in New Jersey, outside of New York City. If you're a fancy person with a private plane in New York City, you probably have a private plane in Teterboro. And he flew from there, the flight log says, on the Lolita Express towards Palm Beach Island. And Bill Gates was asked about Jeffrey Epstein, and he kind of clammed up, but this is what he said.
There have been a number of reports, including in the New York Times, and you know where I'm going with this, about a handful of meetings, if not more, that you took with Jeffrey Epstein after he had been convicted as a sexual offender.
Well, definitely, you know, any people with a reputation spending time with him probably gave him an undeserved sense of, you know, being back in the mainstream or not being a pariah. And so my doing that was a mistake. As I go about trying to raise money for global health, which, you know, every extra $1,000 we raise for that cause saves one life. And so we are extremely resource limited. We can buy more bed nets. We can buy more vaccines. In that case, you know, I made a mistake in judgment that I thought that those discussions would lead literally to billions of dollars going to global health. Turned out that was a bad judgment. That was a mirage. None of that money ever appeared. And I gave him some benefit by the association. So I made a doubly wrong mistake there.
Do you have a reaction to his philanthropy there, Ben?
Well, a lot of it has been well documented, I think, by especially Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has put out the details about, about over 400,000 people being paralyzed by his polio vaccines in India, and then they have the famous TED Talk where he talked about using vaccines to reduce the population, and then there were credible reports that they were using sterilizing women at gunpoint in Africa with vaccines. There's a lot about what he's done that's on the record that shows that it's not really about philanthropy. Now, the other thing people don't seem to know about Bill Gates, they've tried to cover this up very hard. I found this, you know, many years ago on the internal IBM network, but he's not some genius high school dropout or university dropout who invented, you know, Microsoft. Or he married the Melinda Watson of the IBM family of Nazi fame, and that was why he was given the software monopoly. So, you know, this is another case where another person like that is David Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, who is the grandson of David Rockefeller. And again, he's not some genius who invented Facebook. Facebook was created using huge amounts of taxpayer money, and then it was like given to him as a personal legacy. I think you'd say the same about Elon Musk. He's using all his DARPA technology to enrich himself, even though it was paid for with taxpayer money. So we're dealing with a network of families, and there is literally huge amounts of courtroom-quality evidence that these people worship Satan and practice human sacrifice. That, you know, they seem to think that we are their sheep. And I call them Khazarian Mafia so that they're not associated with the Jews, who most of whom have nothing to do with this. But, you know, Bill Gates is definitely... I think he means well, but, you know, Hitler meant well, too. It doesn't mean that they're actually doing good things, you know what I mean?
It's just so disingenuous to me, where the richest man in the world is like, I have to raise money. You don't understand, I have to raise money. It's like, spend some money, man. What are you talking about, raise money? Oh, I was just on the pedophile plane because I'm such a philanthropist. Shut up. You know, can we listen to somebody who wasn't on the Lolita Express? Are there any other qualified people not on that flight log? I mean, come on, man.
The thing about Epstein, though, that you need to know is apparently he was a double agent. So, on one level, he was a Mossad guy, you know, enabling all this underage prostitution and apparently, you know, including this human sacrifice. But on another level, he was actually an informant for high-level investigation against these people. And that's why they faked his death and he's still alive under witness protection.
And where is he right now, would you say?
Oh, I mean, that's the whole point of witness protection. You don't know where he is.
Well, Ghislaine Maxwell just popped up in France, right? In Paris?
Ghislaine or whatever it's called. Yeah, well, I mean, it would be great to have her, speak in public, hopefully in a courtroom podium, to describe exactly what's going on.
Mm. I wonder if we'll ever get our day in court. But you're being suppressed because you're talking about COVID. Bill Gates has been talking about the next plan, the next phase of the COVID agenda is this.
There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And so, you know, although there's a lot of work on testing, a lot of work on drugs that we're involved with, you know, trying to achieve that ambitious goal, which has never been done for the vaccine, that rises to the top of the list.
He kind of like chuckles. He's like, everyone has to be vaccinated. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
You know, the what my sources at the NSA tell me, and there's plenty of evidence for this too, they have microchips now that are small enough to be injectable. And they've been experimenting, you know, where they inject these, like a whole bunch of little microchips into people. And then those allow them to use electromagnetic waves, 5G type stuff to basically control the population. You see, these people are terrified. They've been ruling us like sheep for thousands of years, and they're absolutely terrified of losing control because they know that this will not end well for them. And so they're desperately, desperately trying anything they can to keep us under control. That means, and their method has always been fear and bribery, and they're using the combination. They want to scare people with the fear of this so-called pandemic. And I've gone to big hospitals and checked for myself. And my sister is the head of medicine at a major university hospital. And she's an expert in epidemics. And, you know, I'm telling you, this thing doesn't exist. Nonetheless, they're using this fear, but they also want to combine it with bribery. So the plan is you come in for your vaccine, we'll give you a digital wallet, and you can buy stuff at Walmart. But if you don't take the vaccine, we're going to cut you off the financial system. That's what they're trying to do, and we're doing everything we can to prevent this.
Mm.
We really are at the end game here. They're pulling out all their stops. They're trying everything they can. They've been financing these fake activists, you know, toppling statues, trying to foment race wars, trying to foment class wars, anything to distract us from the real enemy, which is, you know, this satanic elite.
It's just fascinating to me that Melinda... is from the IBM. Melinda Gates is from the IBM, which is just old Nazi Project Paperclip people that come to America. She's the dynasty he marries in. They're like, I guess you're the guy. And then you mentioned his TED Talk, Bill Gates' TED Talk. I have the juiciest clip from that. Here it is.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Wait a minute. Vaccines drop the population by 10 or 15%? Is that what
it is? Well, that's what I think. There were newspaper reports, I've confirmed these, from Africa, where they were forcing young women to be sterilized by vaccine at gunpoint.
Unbelievable.
And you got to remember, Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf that he wanted to enslave the inferior races and then eventually wipe them out. And this is the Nazi ideology. Their thinking is that they needed to, you know, get rid of what they call the useless eaters, the brown people, you know, the people who don't follow their orders, and then, you know, permanently enslave the survivors and then create themselves as gods with a servant class of human slaves maintaining their lifestyle. This was their plan, and this is there's still a group that's trying to do this, and unfortunately they're concentrated in the highest levels of power.
Mm.
Now there's something I wanted to say today about, you know, the white hats, the people and the special forces, the military, the agencies. You know, a lot of us have been struggling with very little money and under sort of financial sanction. Now, I've decided that at this point we need to take a leaf from the history book. And, you know, I want to promise that if, just like when you take a city, you get to loot the rich people's houses, I think that we need to actually offer these special forces and military part of the loot. We go after these Khazarian mafios, these families that own the Fortune 500 companies, and we'll confiscate it, and we'll divvy up, you know, some of it, rewards for the people who help overthrow these oligarchs. But I want to make a distinction here. This is a very important distinction. We need to protect and preserve genuine capitalists who actually created value, people who made stuff, who created value, raised living standards. Like the people at Apple are rich because everyone's got an iPhone that makes their life more convenient. Amazon's Bezos got rich because he provides a service that we all use. So we want to distinguish between genuine self-made entrepreneurs who need to be protected because they're helping us. You can, obviously they need to be regulated so that they don't abuse their wealth, but we're talking about intergenerational controllers who did nothing but be parasites all their lives, who were born into this and who use taxpayer money. I'm talking, you know, like you say, like people like Gates and Zuckerberg, you know, the bloodline people who have not created wealth, they've parasited wealth. These people, we can divvy that up as a reward for overthrowing them.
Yeah, I like your plan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
okay.
you. We've got to do it. We just got to go after these guys. There's no other choice.
They're
coming after us.
You're right. And I have a clip. This is a special clip that I've procured through my sources. This is inside Bill Gates' headquarters in a boardroom meeting.
Many cannot go there. And, well, frankly, many would rather die.
Then they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
So that was just a little clip from inside Bill Gates as people came in asking.
You know, a high-tech oligarch, I won't say who he was, visited Bill Gates' house. Apparently there's a room there full of human skeletons that's devoted to the worship of death. This is from a famous oligarch who visited his house.
You know, it was recently interesting. A lot of the numbers of COVID cases came out. One city after another, Chicago, Detroit, all the cities had the same number of cases.
You mean 322?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another organization that worships death, the Skull and Bones.
Yeah, it goes back, you know, to the date that democracy in Athens was replaced by plutocracy, by rule of the rich. Only people with 2,000 drachmas were allowed to vote. So it's kind of like they're saying, okay, this is a big push by us billionaires and trillionaires to cement our control and permanently end democracy.
Well, you know, it does seem like the economy's ruined. Like, I got to be honest, Ben. I'm getting a little fat. My gym closed. I can't work out at my gym anymore. All these small businesses are getting crushed. And it seems like something that you've been reporting for a long time is a global financial reset. We had the Marshall Plan after World War II that kind of set up how the economy is going to work. And now, you know, if one country sues another country, like if America sues China for starting coronavirus and wreaking havoc, then maybe they're trying to scam their way to offset what they owe. And Mike Pompeo, your favorite person in the world, he spoke on this. Mike Pompeo is setting up America in this global financial reset to sue China because we're in debt to China by millions of times our GDP. So instead of paying that, we're going to try to sue them by claiming that they started COVID. And this is Mike Pompeo talking about that.
And Mr. Secretary, have you seen anything that gives you high confidence that it originated in that Wuhan lab?
Martha, there's enormous evidence that that's where this began. I can tell you that there is a significant amount of evidence that this came from that laboratory in Wuhan.
How's my conspiracy theory, Ben? Let me run it by you. Is that what they're doing?
I forensically traced the ownership of that Wuhan laboratory to the Soros Foundation. This is a documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission in New York. Now go on.
Do you feel like America's in this global financial reset? If all the world players come back to a table and say how we're going to divvy up the world's assets, is that what they're doing? Is that why Mike Pompeo is blaming China for and saying it originated from the Wuhan lab so he can sue China for the meltdown of the economy?
Yeah, but you see, the whole world doesn't want to preserve the current regime in Washington, D.C., because, you know, your country's been at war for at least 220 or more of your 240 years of independence or so. Your entire system has become dysfunctional. You spend 17% of your GDP on healthcare, and yet your lives get shorter every year. You have by far the highest prison population on Earth, and they're being used to slave labor. You know, I've seen bonds in Singapore, or a friend of mine has seen them, like a close friend of mine, backed by prison slave labor in the U.S. And you have the biggest gap between the rich and the poor and the OECD. You have incredible crime rates. Your cities are filling up with feces, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it needs to be completely revamped. And the only organization in the United States that has maintained a certain level of integrity and non-corruption is the military. And they need to be, involved in cleaning up the incredible mess that has become the United States. Now, I want to talk about this global reset because I am personally lobbying at a very high level for a plan, and I'd like to explain what it is.
Yes, now, please.
I originally came here to Japan in the 1980s because I wanted to study their economic system. They just had decades of double-digit economic growth. They had the lowest gap between the rich and the poor in any of the developed countries. And they had a very clean environment. You could see, fish swimming in the rivers in downtown Tokyo. So the system they used was a meritocracy that had a future planning agency. And this is what they did was they'd come up with a plan of how they want the country to be in the future. And this would involve politicians talking to the people. It would involve corporations and technocrats saying what was possible. How could we make the people's wishes come true? And then the plan was made by the planning committee, but the actual work was done by the private sector. And this system was copied by Singapore and approved upon by them. And the result is that they still have, even though they're the richest country on earth, if you exclude the tax evaders in Liechtenstein and the gas station attendants in Qatar, these people are richest on earth. And even though they started out two generations as literally peasants living in grass huts, they're now the richest people on earth, and they've earned it by making stuff. And that system, we want to have a version of that system for the West. That would be anybody could apply to join, and it would be run in complete transparency to come up with some sort of system for planning the future based on what people want. And I've got the agreement of the Asians to back this. I've got the agreement of the British Commonwealth. Right now, the blockage is coming from Basel, Switzerland, the BIS. It's coming from the IMF in Washington, D.C., and the World Bank, and it's coming from Rome. And these people are blocking it. But that's the plan that we've been pushing, and it would be done in complete transparency, and it would be a system like a Eurovision Song Contest where anybody can apply to join, and everyone can see who got to the top and how.
Mm. But yeah, they're
and
just...
Another thing, sorry.
Yes, sir.
This would be started off with a jubilee. Okay, you have all those assets, all those mega corporations were illegally taken from the people using a privately owned central bank, or most of them. So there would be a one-off, complete elimination of all debt, a redistribution of ill-gotten assets, only ill-gotten assets, not legitimately earned ones. We want that clear. We don't want to punish value-creating capitalists. We just want to focus on the criminals. Mm. Take their ill-gotten assets and return them to the people that it was stolen from.
Mm.
And I think that could give... We could start off so that every single American would have no more debt. They would own their residence. They wouldn't have to pay rent or mortgage. And they'd have about $400,000 worth of assets. And that would be just a one-off reset to reboot the economy. That's part of the plan. And then we'd have worldwide, there are things that need to be done as a whole planet. For example, replenish the oceans with fish, turning the deserts green, colonizing the universe. These are things that could be done together. But, traditional nation state independence would remain. That's sort of the plan that we're pushing.
It sounds great, and that's what I'm kind of bringing to you. It seems like there's going to be a reset financial reset. You know, all of these businesses are shutting down from COVID, and it's not their fault. It's not something that they did wrong. And they, a lot of these businesses, they owe rent for months and months and months where they were legally forced to shut. So, you know, there's got to be some sort of way where it's like, all right, let's just pull our pieces off this chessboard and let's restart. And that's why I bring to you things like, you know, Mike Pompeo trying to sue China. You know, there's all this horse trading that you always talk about, this horse trading going on behind the scenes. Is that what you're seeing, like the blockage?
China is perfectly willing to write off all the U.S. debt, but only when you get rid of the criminal system that's enslaved you. You know, that's my understanding. So they don't have to sue the Chinese. The Chinese will say, look, as soon as you get rid of these mass murderers who are trying to kill us, we'll be happy to write off your debt. You know?
Yeah. But instead, we're playing these games where Mike Pompeo is trying to bet, you know, sue China over the Wuhan biolab. But meanwhile, the guy who sent the virus over there, Dr. Charles Lieber, came from Harvard, from the United States. And I got a little Dr. Charles Lieber clip.
Randy Antoinette, good morning. Charles Lieber faces a detention hearing today. His arrest stunned the scientific community this week. Lieber is the chairman of Harvard's Department of Chemistry and Chemical Biology. The prominent researcher is accused of getting over $1 million in payments from China, which he did not properly disclose, all while receiving grants from the U.S. Department of Defense and National Institutes of Health. Federal authorities here calling this a crackdown on China's ongoing campaign to steal U.S. research and technology. Two Chinese nationals working in Boston are also charged, including a cancer researcher who's accused of smuggling biological material out of the United States. Reporting live this morning at federal court here in South Boston, Todd Keskevich, WCVB News Center.
So kept that music in, but one thing he said is, oh, the Chinese, they're trying to steal American technology. Like, what do they want, like $1,000 per COVID-19 death? It's like, if you patent a virus that kills people, are they asking China for the money?
Well, first of all, again, the forensic trail, I've documented this, it goes from China to the Soros Foundation, and then to the Knights of Malta, and to these Satanists in Switzerland and Rome and stuff. So the whole China thing is a red herring, okay? Why would the Chinese, you know, it started out with mass deaths in Wuhan. Why would the Chinese kill their own people? And it's not some kind of purge of anti-communists. This is not this nonsense. So, you know, they're misdirecting it. They've been trying to get us to fight each other forever. They tried to get us to attack Iran. That didn't work. They tried to do it with North Korea. That didn't work. Now they're trying to fight. And, you know, at a high level, the militaries in both countries and intelligence communities know this is nonsense and it's not going to happen. We need to go after the real source of the problem. And this is this group of 700 or so individuals, many of them based in Switzerland, who own the world's transnational corporations. These are the people we need to force surrender. Mm-hmm. We gotta not let them fool us into fighting each other when we are not each other's enemies.
Mm. I have a lot of questions to do with this, because this is, when I read your newsletters, I think of a global reset, everyone kind of putting everyone's dirty laundry together. I think that's what the intelligence apparatus is, right? Like, if you have blackmail material on France, and then France tries to get some kind of trade deal, you'd be like, look, I know where the bodies are buried, and I feel like that's just politics. But one thing that's coming up is now New York City prosecutors, you know, they're really going to grab Prince Andrew of the British royal family because they have a lot of money, and maybe they can, you know, use that in some kind of global reset. So I have this clip of New York City prosecutors. They're going to put the screws to Prince Andrew.
This morning, Prince Andrew facing a formal request to speak with New York federal prosecutors as part of their investigation into sexual abuse by Andrew's late friend, Jeffrey Epstein.
So what do you make of that move?
All right. This is an attempt to get control over the Navy. which he heads, okay? What's really going on, think about it. The guy maybe or maybe did not have sex with a 17-year-old girl about 20 or 30 years ago. That's it, okay? And he's, you know, and he's willing to talk about it. I mean, the British royals have sort of tried to distance themselves from him, you know, because they try to keep a sterling reputation. But this is not about, you know, anything really criminal. This is about a power struggle, and it's about the Navy. And they're trying to get control of the Navy. That's what they're trying to do.
So the the British Navy is under Prince Andrew's control.
And the American Navy, too, although you didn't know that.
Hmm. Interesting.
But the important thing about all this dirt is that, you know, at a certain point, what we want to do is just, you know, part of the reset would be to, you know, just look forward, not backwards, you know. Except for some really hardcore people who are torturing and killing children, we'd rather have a South African-style Truth and Reconciliation Committee, get, you know, and then move forward. And instead of, you know, trying to get revenge from ancient things, or not even so ancient things, is we try to build a better future. Focus on that. So we do need some kind of, as part of the Jubilee, some kind of general amnesty with just a few hardcore exceptions. But for those exceptions, we want to put the fear of God into them so that never, ever again would such a thing be allowed to happen.
Well, the International Criminal Court really tried to get the United States, we've talked about this on war crimes in Iraq and Afghanistan. No,
they're not trying to get the United States on war crimes. They're asking the United States to persecute their own war criminals, people who are murdering children and women and non-combatants and torturing people. They're not after the United States. They're asking the United States to prosecute their own war criminals. And this is something anybody with a shred of decency would agree to.
And Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, instead of agreeing to those terms and getting rid of our own war criminals, he threatens the International Criminal Court, and this is him doing so.
And he threatens their family. And, threatens their family.
And I got that clip this time.
We want to identify those responsible for this partisan investigation and their family members who may want to travel to the United States or engage in activity that's inconsistent with making sure we protect Americans.
I think it's really important to step back and remember why it is that the International Criminal Court is investigating, and that is because the Bush administration established a global torture program after 9/11, and over three administrations...
Nobody has been prosecuted for all this torture. And he's saying, you, the criminal court and their families, we know where they are. Jeez.
Yeah, so that's what bullies and cowards do. They threaten your children. They don't come on to you face to face. They threaten your children. That's what these people are about. Okay, and for Pompeo to say something like that shows us exactly what kind of person he is.
Another enemy of Pompeo is WikiLeaks. They exposed the DNC rigging of the elections. They exposed Pizzagate, the conspiracy of Pizzagate, which is absolutely real. A pedophile network was running out of a pizza restaurant. The pizza restaurant had all these symbols on it explaining that they were pedophiles. This is Mike Pompeo. And what he thinks about WikiLeaks exposing their dirty secrets.
Individuals such as Julian Assange and Edward Snowden seek to use that information to make a name for themselves. As long as they make a splash, they care nothing about the lives they put at risk or the damage they cause to national security. Assange and his ilk make common cause with dictators today. Yes, they try unsuccessfully to cloak themselves and their actions in the language of liberty and privacy. But in reality, they champion nothing but their own celebrity. Their currency is clickbait. Their moral compass, non-existent. Their mission, personal self-aggrandizement through destruction of Western values.
Yeah, they make common cause with dictators. What bullshit language is that? They make common cause with dictators? They don't have a moral compass. Oh, because they expose every lie, crime, criminal behavior of the cabal? That's why. Ugh, it's just disgusting.
If you want to identify these people, whenever they come out with, you know, radical Zionist statements and they go and kiss the Benjamin Netanyahu's ring or his ass, you know, in secret, then you know who they are. And Netanyahu is one of their top people, but the real leadership goes back to Switzerland. Okay, that's what I've forensically discovered. You know, personally, by actually traveling to Italy, by talking to the P2, now P3 Freemasons, the trail leads to Switzerland, and in particularly to Zug Switzerland. But it's this whole family grouping, and that's where most of them are located. Some of them are in Italy, some of them are elsewhere, but that's where the forensic trail leads. And Netanyahu takes orders from those people. These are the people who ordered the assassination of President Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and they're still trying to kill people to try to somehow stay in power and keep their control over the privately owned central banks that gives them all this power, this sort of godlike.
Mr. Fulford, did they go to Vegas and have a sacrifice at that Harvest Festival?
Probably. I mean, there's a lot of evidence on it. They're trying to be more secret about it because there have been so many whistleblowers. But if you look at the history, this goes way back. I mean, this was the Carthaginians did that. They sacrificed their own children. And it has an ancient history. These stories about witches, cooking children in pots, that's probably also part of it. I mean, this goes way back, you know. Mm. We're dealing with very ancient and very evil cults, and they've always concentrated at the highest levels of power.
Now, Ben, this is the hardest question I'm going to ask you. We're 37 minutes into this interview. It's been boiling up to this question. Now, We've discussed before that the International Criminal Court asks kindly the country that they examine to arrest the people that they find criminally in violation. And so, like, the United States should, you know, arrest its own people. The International Criminal Court does not have its own enforcement arm, which would be like a United Nations, and that kind of gets into tricky territory of global government. But one of the people that's also threatening the ICC is you, sir, Mr. Fulford. On May 25th, 2020, you wrote this on your blog: if the ICC fails to act in a matter of the White Dragon Society, will hunt down and kill court officials involved in the decision to cover up this massive war crime, the Fukushima event. The current president of the ICC is Chile A.B. Ozuzli, I don't know how to say his name, together with other two top judges, failed to file war crime charges related to Fukushima. They, as the heads of the supposedly highest judicial organization on the planet, will be guilty of covering up war crimes. Now, the ICC, kind of an impotent organization, they're taking death threats from Mike Pompeo. Why is the White Dragon Society doing the same thing?
We're telling them to do their job. I mean, if you don't get to the highest levels of this issue, look, Fukushima was caused by a nuclear weapon that was drilled into the seabed to cause a tsunami and an earthquake that killed 20,000 people. And we have a person as witness who helped smuggle the nuclear weapon in that was used. He was a long-term drug smuggler, and he actually was involved in smuggling the nuclear weapon, a 500-kiloton nuclear weapon that was stolen from the Russian submarine, the Kursk. We have under witness protection one of the Japan self-defense force people who helped divide that new cabinet smaller devices and drill them into the seabed using the deep drilling ship Chikyu, we have a recording of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu threatening Prime Minister Naoto Kan of Japan to kill more people unless Japan handed over their foreign currency holdings. We have plenty of evidence that could be used in the court of law to get the people behind this. And if the International Criminal Court fails to take action or talk about the mass murder of 20,000 people, that's easily provable, then clearly they're only working on an agenda, a political agenda, to attack certain people alone. So all the criminal court has to do is look at the evidence of Fukushima and say, yes, this is something that needs to be prosecuted. And if they don't do that, then clearly we need something other than the International Criminal Court to get justice in this issue. And again, the trail on the Fukushima thing leads to Peter Hans Kolvenback and the P3 or P2 Freemasons and the people in Switzerland. So unless you go right to the top and get these mass murderers, then the International Criminal Court is not doing its job, and it needs to be, okay, they'll be complicit by ignoring such high crimes. If they're the highest criminal court on earth, then they need to prosecute these genocidal activities. Otherwise, they're not a court. They're some kind of political group working for a particular agenda, not justice.
I think that the International Criminal Court reminds me a lot of Benjamin Fulford working for Forbes magazine, and then the Russia correspondent of Forbes magazine is shot in an elevator. And my analogy there is the ICC tried to hold the U.S. government accountable for crimes against humanity, and they had all the evidence in the world. And I told you that was ripped from their website, that was taken from their website, and they were threatened with their lives and their families' lives and all this stuff. I mean, what are they supposed to do? They're basically in hiding, because they...
Well, we'll back them up and protect them if they help go after these people. And yeah, I mean, my colleague, Paul Klebnikov, was murdered. He was shot 9 times, and it was all... But the person who did it was since been killed, you know, at the same time that... they killed him. They tried very hard to kill me. When I was working at Forbes, I had the Japanese gangsters in when I was visiting Sakhalin try to kill me, and they were hired by the same people who killed Klebnikov. But I've been fighting them ever since. And you know, unfortunately, though, you know, at a certain point, you have to defend yourself. This is, nobody else is going to defend you. You got to defend yourself, and that's what we've been trying to do. Because nobody else is doing it. There's no one. And what else can you do? They're trying to kill you. You got to defend yourself.
Well, you're climbing the ladder.
Court. What?
I said you're climbing the ladder. You just had an interview with Robert David Steele, where you're talking to the highest person in China possible. 5/18/2020, May 18, 2020, you said it on your newsletter. It's not clear, but several years ago, a Rothschild family introduced me to a representative of the Dragon family, saying, if you want to talk to China, this is as high as it goes. So, recently you talked to the highest representative for China.
Yeah, and they're offering literally quadrillions of dollars to clean up this planet. And all they require is the agreement for the West to work with the Asia on a 50-50 basis to fix up this planet. And like I say, the blockage is now, the British Commonwealth is on board. The blockage seems to be coming from Rome and Washington, D.C. at this point.
One fringe candidate that in America, you know, we have Joe Biden, who beat Bernie Sanders for the Democratic primary, but another guy who says that he might run as a third-party candidate I noticed is stealing some of your stuff, Ben. This is Jesse Ventura talking about his presidential candidacy, and I believe, and, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, Ben, I think Jesse Ventura is going around to news people saying he might run for presidency, and he's stealing all your best lines. This is Jesse Ventura running for president.
Here's the other thing I do. You know that big, huge defense bill they just both parties okayed?
Yes.
Well, if I got in, I'd accept that completely, that whole big defense bill. But you know what I'd do with it?
What?
I'd take about, $200 billion of it, or whatever I could get out of it, squeeze out of it. And I would use it rather than buying aircraft carriers and rockets and all that other paraphernalia. Have you seen those machines that clean up the ocean?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
I'd spend $200 billion buying those machines, which then would create jobs because they'd have to produce them like heck. You know, instead of building tanks, they'd have to produce them.
Right.
And then I would take enough money to train the United States Navy in operating them, and we would then start a new war. It would be a war to clean the pollution out of our ocean. Nick?
What do you think about that?
Well, that's great. You know, the more people, you know, say, look, this really, at the end of the day, is a battle about over the psychological process of deciding what we as a species do in the future. And, you know, right now we're under control of groups who are trying to get us to fight each other, to kill each other, and who are trying to steal from us. And we're saying, no, let's all say, all right, let's work together. How can we make this planet heaven on Earth? And redirect the species to, you know, more useful and productive directions, like, you know, cleaning up the environment. We've wiped out more species than any time since the dinosaurs were wiped out. Well, let's put an end to that. Let's create new ecosystems. Let's end poverty. Let's explore the universe. Instead of this, you know, let's fight China or let's fight North Korea, this kind of nonsense that the current ruling class is after, or let's kill 90% of the world and enslave the rest and rule everybody from Jerusalem like these Zionists are trying to do, and say, no, this is a planet we all share, we want to fix it. We're not going to wait to die to go to heaven. We're going to turn this place into heaven. That's what we need to do.
He said the Navy. He would go with the Navy, and you just told me that Prince Andrew runs the American Navy. If they got $200 billion, he would use
the Navy. I mean, the British are on board, and I think a lot of the people are on board, and it's just the people who have the control over these money machines, they can't give it up. That incredible power and wealth, they won't give it up. They won't give it back to the people, and that's what we're fighting for.
So for undergrad, Ben, I went to the New School, and the president of the New School is a guy called Bob Carey, who used to be a senator somewhere in the Midwest. And then I graduated undergrad in 2008. In 2009, Bob Carey was asked, because he was on the 9/11 commission, and he was asked by a group of just like kind of rogue journalists that ran up to him and asked him some questions about 9/11 and the cover-up. Also, personally, I'd like to say that my father was working on Wall Street the morning of 9/11, and I didn't know if my dad was alive or dead for 2 days, basically, because the phones all broke down. So then I went to the New School University in Manhattan, and my president of the New School is Bob Carey. He was asked about his involvement in the 9/11 Commission report, which is very close to my heart, and this is what he said.
I was just wondering, real quick, why didn't they talk about Building 7 in the report?
That's a good question.
Why do you think that would
be? I don't have an easy answer for you, but I would ask it.
Can you see this medical thing right now?
Yeah, anyway.
Thank you.
Do you support a criminal investigation into 9/11?
Because
No, yours was an exposition. It was not a criminal investigation.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, I do support a permanent commission to examine not just that, but lots of other things in this area.
But if it's a permanent cover-up, then it's. I mean, if it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, right. And it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking a treasonous exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you have this one. You ever get to the bottom of it?
We have to. Or we can't save our countries.
I don't think. Well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, I don't. Because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
No, I'm thinking about 9/11.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you are. You mean?
Yeah. Anyway, I got it.
You hear what he said there? He said it's a 30-year-old conspiracy. He goes, yeah, I'm talking about 9/11. He says that's what I'm talking about. This is, and he was recorded in 2009. In 2009, he goes, it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
Well, you know, I have a lot of professional journalists, colleague friends in Tokyo, and they were all wondering what was going to happen when they released all the Kennedy documents. And they released the documents, and suddenly there was a complete wall of silence. Nobody talked about it. But the fact is that David Ben-Gurion, the then Prime Minister of Israel, ordered the assassination of President Kennedy. And it's the Zionists who are behind all this. And unless you go after them, you're whistling in the wind. And that's what he was talking about, this 30-year conspiracy. It's a Zionist plan to rule humanity from Jerusalem and kill those who refuse to become their slaves. And that's where the trail leads. And I say that as someone with Jewish ancestry. These people aren't Jews. Zionism is not Judaism. And these are the real source of the problem. They're the ones behind this very provable plan to kill 90% of humanity and enslave the rest. And we must remove them completely and permanently from all sources of power.
And what does it look like? So you were saying earlier that what you want is to kind of, you know, back in the day, people, if you had killed a king of a city-state, then you would inherit his wealth. Is that what you're saying it's time for? Now it's time for the resistance to rise up and take the wealth from the top?
Just the stolen wealth, okay? Not the earned wealth. So this is a very important distinction. But the parasitical part of it needs to be dealt with. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do. And I'm a believer in meritocracy combined with freedom of information and democracy. They're not incompatible. You can have democracy and meritocracy together, but it's much better to have it where you have a pyramid where anybody, any goat herd from any mountain can climb to the top of that pyramid, not intergenerational Satan worshipping families who were born into it.
This has been intense. I really appreciate you, Ben. I appreciate our friendship. Last time you were on my podcast, you said that things are going to clear up and the clouds are going to break, the rain clouds are going to break, and next autumn, so which would be September 2021, things are going to look better and we're going to get our jubilee. Is that still the time frame you're on?
Well, you know, there was a French mathematician, and he calculated the day he was going to die. And when that day came, he was so scared that he committed suicide. Okay? I mean, maybe it's not a good example, but the point is that we can decide to make true. It's a, you know, not in the negative sense, but if we want to save the world, we have to make a collective decision, and then it can be done. It could be done this autumn. We don't have to wait until 2021. But that 2021 date was given to me by, very senior intelligence types who said that's what they thought was the current plan. But I'd like to see it happen this autumn, if possible. I'm going to keep pushing for it. And everyone else needs to keep pushing for it. The United States is partway through there. They've nationalized the Federal Reserve Board inside the U.S. But they forget that the United States is not an island, that this entire planet is interconnected, and they can't, you know, and you need to come to some sort of arrangement with the Asians on a 50-50 equal basis so that we can resolve this.
The Marshall Plan was considered, like, after World War II, the financial system was set up, and it was called the Rolls-Royce Camry deal. So, because...
Well,
yeah.
The Marshall Plan was good, except that they only did it for the countries they controlled, the G7. Now, the Belt and Road Initiative is about, you know, 100 times bigger than the Marshall Plan, and that's for everybody except for the G7 who don't want to participate. We want something run by the West that's 100 times bigger than the Marshall Plan, in harmony with an Asian plan of equal size, and we'll compete to see who can make the planet better.
That sounds great, Ben. I'm out of questions, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm going to take a long holiday and rest up, and then hopefully this autumn we might be able to do it if we all push together. But if not, we're going to keep fighting until this is over.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay, my friend.
Bye.
Talk to you next time. Bye-bye. That was Benjamin Fulford calling in from Tokyo. This has been Highway Diary, episode 257. Please go to BenjaminFulford.net, sign up for his weekly newsletter for $11 a month. You can also find Benjamin Fulford on Patreon. Also go to EricHollerbach.com, that's EricHollerbach, that's EricHollerbach.com, and I'm releasing 3 stand-up specials: Conspiracies and Dick Jokes, Fart Porn in Beer Halls, and It's a Medical Device are 33-minute stand-up specials. They're dropping on Amazon Prime July 15th, as well as CD Baby, and the audio will aggregate to all platforms. Again, thanks to my guest, Benjamin Fulford, for this episode. Bye, everybody.